Kleakoff makes bones talk. That's her phrase for it. She finds them, feels them, cleans them, examines them, and tries to listen for the clues they might offer, months and even years after those bones have been buried. Kleakoff is a forensic anthropologist who's worked to dig out, discern, and certify exactly what happened in killing fields around the world that have become datelines over the past decade, Rwanda, Bosnia, and Kosovo. The story of her work to put her science into the service of human rights and her own struggles to take inspiration from work that can be at once appalling and depressing are told in her new book, The Bone Woman, a forensic anthropologist's search for truth in the mass graves of Rwanda, Bosnia, Croatia, and Kosovo. Kleakoff joins us now from the studios of NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Scott.
The book opens during your first mission in Rwanda, and you sort of get brought up short when you explain why you smile when you work.
Yes. Well, I find, for me, to be in a mass grave, indeed to even simply be around a human skeleton, I feel not only a great sense of privilege to even be in contact with someone's remains, but I actually have a sensation that because I am there, because our team is there, we will begin to make some sense of this person's death. This person, this body, is that of someone who another person killed. They believe they had silenced them forever. The last thing they expected was that people like us would come and look for those bones and would tell their story. The idea that that body can essentially talk on the witness stand, and in fact that we might be able to get that body back to its relative, to me is a feeling of fulfillment. And that smile starts deep down, you know, on the inside, and just comes out onto my lips kind of, you know, way after the fact.
Help us understand what you can discern by looking at bones.
Essentially, forensic anthropologists try to identify unidentified human remains by determining people's age at death, their sex, how tall they were, and their ancestry. We're also able to look at disease patterns. If someone's broken a bone, we, of course, also can see how people died.
I learned in reading your book that in places like Rwanda, Bosnia, Kosovo, dental records are often useless.
That's right. I mean, here in the States, when an unidentified body is discovered, one of the first things that happens is that dental x-rays are taken from the body in order to match with dental records of missing people. It's a pretty standard technique. It's a very reliable way of determining positive identity. But in Rwanda, there weren't a lot of people who had even been to a dentist or needed to have gone to a dentist from what we could see in the grave. People's teeth were in excellent condition. And also in the former Yugoslavia, the dental records had been destroyed during war. This led us to looking at the skeletons, of course, in light of what else here can tell us who these people are. In Rwanda, we then reached the next level of difficulty, which is that there weren't many family members left to even tell us how tall Joseph was when he died, or how old he was.
Would it be fair to say that to do the work you do in a killing field, you almost sometimes can't notice what it is you're actually doing?
I agree with you insofar as that you don't see the enormity. When you are actually working in a grave, you're working on an individual level. Mm-hmm. We are dealing sometimes with maybe five individuals at a time who are intertwined with one another in a grave. It is only when we've had the opportunity to pause while we're working, I would raise my head for some comparatively fresh air and look around and realize that these 196 men that we've so far uncovered all have their hands tied behind their backs with wire. And that makes me start thinking beyond this level of this is a dead person. It makes me start thinking about how the wire got there. How did that much wire get here in a time of war when most people were dealing with deprivation? Most people couldn't get enough flour to make bread. Who got the wire here? Who organizes? Who are the people that plan these sorts of things? And it is only at that time that you really begin to step back, because otherwise you are focused on what is right in front of your face. Is this arm connected to this person? Is this head connected to this body? Will the archaeologist who's on the mapping machine give me a number to get this person out?
There's at least one moment that you describe in the book when you did become, I think it's fair to say, overwhelmed, at least of a moment. You were working with some bones that indicated they had belonged to a young boy.
That's right. And because I had been at the site where we had actually exhumed his bones, which was Srpska outside of Srebrenica in Bosnia, I knew that he was from a site where men and boys had been lined up at the top of a hill and shot multiple times. They had fallen down the hill and simply been covered with dirt after the fact. I knew some of the story of the men from Srebrenica, the 7,000 to 8,000 men who had left in July 1995 and had not been seen again since. I wondered, all of this subconsciously, was he with his father when he was shot? Did he see his father being killed? And I thought about the women of Srebrenica, the survivors who were living, some of them in Tuzla, where we were also living, and who I'd seen on television talking about wanting just one bone back. If they could just have one bone back of their relatives, they would be happy. And one woman talked about her young son and how somebody else had seen him for the last time getting onto a truck, and he had been crying. And that was the one time, Scott, that I was fully overwhelmed. Because I do make a great distinction between being overwhelmed while working and being overwhelmed while sitting at home very far away from a gravesite.
Clea Koff. Her new book is The Bone Woman, a forensic anthropologist's search for truth in the mass graves of Rwanda, Bosnia, Croatia, and Kosovo. Ms. Koff, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate talking to you.